become Reverend Christina. That's what the box says. This has been a transforming night. I didn't get any taller, though. We've been here so long, I almost forgot what my sermon was. It's that wonderful time of the year where we have multiple sermons running constantly as where we are. But tonight, I want to look at Paul's letter to the church in Rome. We did read that, right? Okay, good. This concept of our baptism, this outward sign of which we claim our true identity in Jesus Christ. So we hear in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul saying, as he's writing to this church in Rome, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we might too might walk in newness of life." See, this concept of our baptism is a claiming, I don't want to say a new identity, it's claiming our true identity, amen? There's this idea of walking in this world that sometimes we lock into false identities, and the world may give them to you, or you may have picked it up on your own. You just decide, well, and this is where you know. It's just the way I am. No, if it's anything other than this is what God's called me to be, there's a chance whatever that identity that you are claiming is not your true identity in Christ. It's just the way I am. That's what we say to people when they recognize a huge flaw in us, amen? So when I was younger, and I had more of the Irish temper, I was told when we were raising, I said, well, that's just the way I am. This is my Irish temper. So now I don't get so mad. I just turn red and I shake. I always tell people, if you're saying something and I seem irritated and I start turning red and shaking, just walk away. I'm going to hold my temper because my identity in Christ does not allow for that. Most of the time. I see my wife over there raising her eyebrows. I am a broken, fallen human, although that is not my identity. I am redeemed. Amen? So sometimes we grab these false identities, but they're temporary. It's just of the world. I mean, let's think about it. How many Led Zeppelin fans we got in here? How many of them are under 40? See, it's fleeting. And we claim that. And I've seen people go through their lives and they have this identity and they make their identity maybe their work. And I've seen with my own eyes people who've claimed their work as their full identity. But you know what happens? We don't work up to the end. We end up retired. Many, well, not some of us, not so much. But people then retire and then they don't know who they are. Or they make their identity outside their home and they come home and they discover that they don't know who they are as part of a married couple. Or we become so engrossed in raising our beautiful children and our children, they leave, if you're lucky. If we do our job, you know, you get them off the payroll. But the problem is if we don't know our true identity and those children leave, we suddenly don't know who we are. And sometimes we act in ways that isn't really helpful for them. But see, when we seek our true identity in Christ, that's when we are changed. That's where we're transformed into the people that God created us to be. So that we can live with him. As we continue, it says, verse 5, chapter 6, "For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." An eternal life is the promise that Paul's making the church in Rome aware of. And man, we need to know that today too, don't we? We need to claim this. We need to walk in it. You see, we know that our old self was like his, or was crucified with him. Let's try that again. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. This is open to all God's people. This coming forward, claiming the fullness of identity in him, one of the things in which we do to proclaim that identity publicly is what we just did. And by the glory of God, we have just entered seven new people into the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
These are seven new people who are saying, this is my identity. Or somebody's saying it for them. But you're going to teach them to say it for himself, right?
Yep.
You're going to raise him up so he's going to know who this Jesus is, so that he can walk in it, so that he can own it, so that he isn't taken over by whatever the world might decide he is. He will know who he is because he knows whose he is. Amen?
Amen.
This is what we're doing. Yeah, did we do it perfectly? Yes. No, we never do. I mean, we look like we should. But what really matters is the reality of what God is doing. See, God is transforming us. And when we recognize that, when we see that, and then when we claim it, or someone claims it on our behalf, we give ourselves back through our baptism. We die with him so we can rise with him. What an incredible day that we get to celebrate this with all the newly baptized as I sit and I see them all before me, as some we've waited a while for. And we're so grateful that we're here. It's just an amazing day. It's exciting. We should be excited. And to see the families gathering around and saying, yeah, we're going to do this with you. And church, don't forget, are you going to support these people in their life in Christ? Amen. I already told them in the beginning, lest you didn't hear me earlier, you just gave them all permission to check up on you. Mentioned something about a liquor store, but that was a joke. But the reality is, we're one body. Welcome to the body of Christ. He has a purpose for you. And when I say purpose, I mean a job. He's calling us to walk with him. You are free to do that now. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the world tells you you are. You are his. He has claimed you. You have claimed him as your Lord and Savior. Your life has changed, whether you know it or not. I say walk in it. The struggles will come when you don't. Struggles will come when you will. The difference is when you walk in it, in the fullness, and you adhere to the promises that you made, that you continue in the teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of the bread. When you do that, that means, yeah, you're going to be in a church. Church, is your life easier with or without the people around you?
With.
Right? A community of support. One body. One body. Welcome to the body of God. See, we are a new creation, born again by water and spirit, to receive the fullness of that which God intended for each one of us. Those of us who are here with you tonight got to renew our own baptismal covenant so that we can claim it again and again. Because let's face it, we sometimes have a short attention span. It's good to be reminded. It's good to have somebody lean in once in a while and say, hey, Brian, are you going to get up and go to church or not? I think that's because she wants to make sure I get paid. But there are days, I have to say. Like anybody else, there are days. It's a struggle. Tomorrow morning's coming real early. Funny story, and then I'll let you go. Many of you have heard it, but as my homiletics professor said, if it was worth telling, it's worth telling again. As I sat on the bed one Sunday morning, my wife is getting ready in the bathroom, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. I don't know if you've ever done that, and you're just like, oh, not today. I don't even drink coffee. So it's not like that's going to change anything. And I'm just sitting there, and if you don't know me, I wear black. A third of my closet is black. Almost every sock I own is black. Most of my shoes are black. I wear black and a little white collar. And I'm sitting on the edge of the bed on a Sunday morning. My wife comes out. She looks at me. She goes, what's the matter? Can't decide what to wear. It's a motivator. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I don't have to decide what to wear. Well, that's one thing out of the way. So let's start up and move. But see, this Jesus is doing a mighty act. And he's doing a mighty work. And he's doing it in and through his people. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that here tonight. 7 new souls that God has claimed as his own forever, forever. So Paul leaves us today with a clear instruction in verse 11. So you also must, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's not that you may, not that you should, it's not that you can't. Brothers and sisters, you must.